none of us actually fully understands part of the Christmas story, that virgin birth part of it. I mean, pretty hard to wrap your mind around, isn't it? Maybe you have wondered, just, was Jesus really born of a virgin? Why should I believe something that silly? Well, last Sunday, our message was virgin birth, myth or truth. And so if you have ever struggled with that question, I encourage you to go online to our website and you can listen to last Sunday's message. Because there's a lot of evidence to cause us to believe that Jesus was truly born of a virgin. And there's lots of truths that we can glean from Mary's virgin birth. Jeremy Brett of Oklahoma City tells of a time that his daughter Olivia was 5 years old and she was taking part in the church Christmas pageant. It was before the first dress rehearsal and they were all standing up in front by the platform and the parents were helping the children get in their costumes. And one little boy, who was very proud that he was a sheep, would go around and say, "Hi, I'm a sheep. What are you? Hi, I'm a sheep. What are you?" Well, then he asked Jeremy's daughter Olivia, "Hi, I'm a sheep. What are you?" And she said, "Well, I'm Mary, the mother of Jesus." Now, at that point, the little boy realized he was talking to one of the stars of the show. So he had to convince Olivia how important he was. So he said, "Well, being a sheep is very hard." And Olivia thought about a minute and smiled and said, "Yes, but being a virgin is very, very, very hard." Out of the mouths of babes, right? Well, I got to think that Mary, the mother of Jesus, would have agreed with that assessment. Here she was, a teenage girl from a poor family, living at home and planning her wedding, when an angel came from God to give her a message that was going to make her virginity very, very, very hard. Now, we've all heard this story many times before, but just stop a minute and step back with me and put yourself in Mary's shoes, and let's try and think about it from her perspective. Mary would have been 13 to 15 years old when her father arranged her to be married to an older man, a carpenter from the village named Joseph. And Mary's father and Joseph's father got together and they negotiated a price that would be paid for Mary. Then in the presence of at least two witnesses, they exchanged the money, they shook hands, and they declared the engagement. And with that act, Mary and Joseph were publicly pledged, legally pledged to each other. And even though they weren't married, that relationship could only be broken by death or divorce. In fact, if Joseph died during the engagement, Mary would legally be considered a widow. Now, after the engagement was announced, Mary and Joseph lived separately. For the next 9 months, they stayed with their own parents. And that was called the waiting period, because that 9 months was to prove that Mary was actually sexually pure and she truly was a virgin. And if Mary was discovered to be pregnant during that engagement, she was considered damaged goods, the deal was off, and Joseph would divorce her for unfaithfulness. In fact, if Mary was found to be pregnant during that engagement, it would unleash a whole world of hurt. Mary would be publicly shamed and very possibly shunned and avoided by the townswomen. There'd be some sort of penalty that she and her family would have to address and deal with at the synagogue. And Mary's parents would be humiliated. And it would be very likely that Mary would remain a single mother for the rest of her life. Who's going to want to marry a poor teenage girl that already has a child and has a reputation for being unfaithful to her boyfriend? And then how is Mary going to support herself? I mean, at the very best, she's a single mother living on the edge of poverty, depending on her parents to help her out. And at worst, if her embarrassed father publicly disowns her, Mary's reduced to living on the streets and begging or doing something even worse to provide foods for her family. Are you starting to get the picture? For Mary to lose her virginity during this engagement would cost Mary everything she held dear. And now a messenger from God comes and tells her God is going to take away her virginity? Seriously? How do you really think Mary felt about that? And yes, I know several days or weeks later after Mary processed it, she prayed something we call the Magnificat, which is a beautiful, beautiful expression of her dependence and trust in God. But I'm talking about how did she really feel when she first heard this news, this teenage girl? And how did other people feel when they heard this news? Shocked? Probably. A little scared, don't you think? A lot of confused? Certainly. See, for Mary, that first Christmas didn't feel like one big party. And maybe for you, this Christmas is not feeling like one big party. Maybe, like Mary, you're a little scared or confused this Christmas. Maybe you're just plain lonely. Maybe you've got physical pain or financial problems or employment issues, and you've just got problems just crowding in around you. And like Mary, you're hurting this Christmas. Well, the good news is that God never intended Christmas to be a time when everybody smiles and acts happy when they're not. Because Christmas is actually God's message to us when we are scared or confused or lonely or sad. And when we're struggling with problems, when we're hurting. So let's go back and listen to God's message to Mary on that first Christmas and see what He might be saying to you and I, wherever you are in your life, this morning. You can follow along. There's a handout inside your program, if you like following along that way, but everything will be on the screen behind me as well. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the 6 months, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who is said to be barren, is in her 6th month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. God's message to Mary and God's message to you and I this Christmas, no matter how you are feeling, pressured or stressed or exhausted or discouraged, He has a message for all of us. And His first message is, "You are not forgotten. I know you." You are not forgotten. I know you. Christmas is a time when it's easy to feel forgotten. That childhood Christmas play where you wanted to be Mary or Joseph, or you wanted to be one of the wise men, and you ended up being a shepherd, or you ended up being a sheep. That Christmas party you were never invited to, or you were invited to, but nobody really talked to you. That Christmas bonus at work that you never received. That Christmas present that you were so excited to give, and the other person just didn't seem to be that excited to receive it. I think all of us had some time when we felt a little left out and a little forgotten, haven't we? And Mary would have known, as a poor, insignificant teenage girl, what that feeling was like. So we read, God sent his angel Gabriel to Nazareth to a virgin. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. Don't be afraid, Mary. God's messenger calls Mary by her name. God knows Mary's name. God sent His personal messenger through the cosmos, through our solar system, to a small planet, to an even smaller country, to a tiny village, to a specific house, to call a very ordinary teenage girl by her name, Mary. Now, Mary's hometown of Nazareth is so insignificant, it's never even mentioned in all of history until Jesus was born there. And yet God knew Nazareth. He knew every street, He knew every house, He knew every person. He knew Mary. He knew her name. And when your life isn't going the way that you want, it's easy to feel forgotten, easy to feel like God has forgotten you. So God says to you this Christmas, you are not forgotten. I know you. I know your name. Like Mary, I know where you live. I know how you live. I know why you live. I know every hair on your head. I know every tear in your eye. I know every worry in your heart. I know you better than you know yourself. I know you. You're not forgotten. And I want you to be mine. Mary Ann Bird writes of what it was like to be a child who grew up with a cleft palate. And she remembers how when people looked at her, their first look was horror or shock. And they always treated her differently. And she knew when her classmates looked at her, they saw a little girl with misshapen lips and a crooked nose and lopsided teeth and garbled speech. And she was just sure nobody but her own family could ever love her. And when children were asked her how she got that way, she would tell them that she tripped and fell and cut herself on some glass, because that felt better than saying, well, God let me be born this way. In the second grade, Mary Ann Bird had a teacher named Mrs. Leonard, and all the students loved Mrs. Leonard. She was short and she was round and she just loved on the students. Everybody wanted to be the teacher's pet. And every year Mrs. Leonard did a listening test, where one by one the students were sent to the back of the room and they would stand by the back door to the room and they'd cover an ear and she would say something like, the sky is blue, and they'd have to repeat it. And then they'd cover the other ear and repeat back whatever she said then. And Mary Ann Bird says, I will never forget the time I stood at the back of the room and covered my ear and heard the seven words that changed my life. As Mrs. Leonard said, I wish you were my little girl. And God says to you this Christmas, no matter how flawed and failed or beat up you were feeling, I wish you were my son. I wish you're my daughter. You're not forgotten in the crowd. You're not lost in the shuffle. Out of billions of people over thousands of years, I know you. I know you. Your fears, your faults, your failures, I know you're better than you know yourself. And I want you to be mine. This Christmas, can you hear Christ whispering to you? You're not forgotten. I know you. And I want you to be mine. The second message that God sends to you this Christmas is, you're not alone. I am with you. You're not alone. I am with you. Christmas is an easy time to feel alone. Even with all the noise and the commotion, you can feel alone in a crowd. You know what I mean? Have you ever felt that way? Well, Mary would have known what it was like to feel loneliness. The loneliness of being misunderstood. The loneliness when your family and friends turn their backs on you when they find out you got pregnant out of wedlock. The loneliness of giving birth to your first child far from home in unfamiliar surroundings without any friendly faces around you. And it was in those moments of loneliness that God said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. in her deepest moment of loneliness, God says, Mary, you're not alone. I am with you. And God promises the same thing to you and to me. Because just before Jesus, after his resurrection, just before he ascended into heaven, he said to the disciples, I will not leave you alone. I will be with you always. Even when you feel alone, I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. And God's message to you this Christmas is, you may feel alone, but I am with you. And I am with you to care for you, and I am with you to protect you. Back when my grown children were children, there was a movie. Some of you may remember it. The name of the movie was The Bear. And it tracked a little bear cub from his birth and through it went grew to adulthood. And at the beginning of the story, you see this young bear cub being born and loved by its mother and playing with its mother, and life is wonderful. But then the mother is tragically killed, and this little bear cub is alone in the Alaskan wilderness, and you're thinking, it doesn't have any hope of survival. It can't defend itself. It's dead already. But then, unexpectedly, a giant Kodiak bear kind of adopts this bear cub and takes the cub under its wing and protects it from a mountain lion that's kind of stalking it from a distance. And the Kodiaks start to teach the little cub how to truly be a bear. You know, how to wade into the stream and how to fish and how to back up into a tree and scratch yourself against a tree, and how when you feel like you're being attacked, the bear stands on its hind legs and raises up its paw and shouts and growls as loud as it can. And you're thinking, okay, I think the bear cub can survive now. But then one day, the bear cub gets separated from the Kodiak, and it can't see the Kodiak anywhere. And just then you see a mountain lion coming over the ridge, and the mountain lion starts to sneak up on the little bear. And the bear startles, and then the cub sees what's happening, and he does what the Kodiak has taught him to do. He stands on his hind legs and raises his little paws and tries to shout with a mighty growl, but all that comes out is a little squeak. And you think that the cub is toast. But the mountain lion all of a sudden freezes. And his ears and his head go up, and then he spins around and he slinks away. And the cub is thinking, wow, I must be better than I thought I was. And then the camera pulls back, and behind the cub you see the Kodiak on its high legs, ready to protect that little cub. You couldn't see him, but he was there all along. And God's Christmas message is to you, is you may not be able to see me, but I am there and I am with you. And I am with you to protect you and to care for you, because I know you. I know your name. Now Jesus says, don't be afraid. I love you. Gabriel told Mary that she was going to be highly favored of God, but as we know from the story, being highly favored of God was going to bring a lot of uncertainty and difficulty into her life. And the text tells us Mary was afraid. Whether she was disturbed by the angel's appearance, or disturbed by what the angel said, or disturbed by the effect on her life, she was afraid. So we read, disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Do not be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. When life is full of uncertainty and difficulty and disappointment and discouragement, God says, don't be afraid. I am with you. And you have my favor. You are special to me. Now, the Amplified Version kind of teases out what that means. It says that favor is translated free, spontaneous, absolute favor, and loving kindness. The idea is that Mary, you or me, can't do anything to earn God's love. We don't deserve it. He chooses to love us, even though we don't deserve us. that God loves each of us freely and unconditionally and absolutely. There's nothing you can do to earn His love, and there's nothing you can do to lose His love. When life is disturbing, don't be afraid. I love you. John Ortberg writes of a time when he lived out here in Barrington. He woke up very early in the middle of the night. The moonlight was streaming through the window. And he rolled over and watched his wife Nancy sleeping. And as he watched his wife bathed in the moonlight, gently sleeping, he was overwhelmed by his love and his tenderness for her. And his mind flitted back and he thought of the day that they met and their first date and their wedding and these special times of life together, building a family and doing ministry together, and realized how empty his life would be without her. And his heart just melted with love for his wife, and tears are running down his cheeks as he watches her sleep. And then it's as if God said to him, "But John, that's the way I feel about you. I watch you sleep. And the way that you, the love you feel for your wife, that's the way that I feel for you." I watch over you. I am watching out for you. And God says to you this Christmas, no matter how stressed or busy your world is, I love you. And I have always loved you. And you didn't earn my love, and you can't lose my love. And if you understood just how much I love you, you'd never be afraid. You would trust my love. The fourth thing that Jesus says to us this Christmas is, when life is difficult, don't despair. I can use you. Don't despair. I can use you. Now, Mary just found out she's going to be a poor, unwed teenage mother. That's not what she planned for her life. That's not what she wanted for her life, to be trapped in this small town smothered in gossip that made every walk to the grocery store an agony of shame. And Joseph would think she cheated on him, and her parents would be humiliated, and her friends wouldn't know what to think when she told them this crazy story. Mary's life was about to get very, very difficult. So God said to Mary, "You will be with child and will give birth to a son, and he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Did you get that? God says, "Mary, your pregnancy is going to be difficult. Your engagement is going to be difficult. But the result will be worth it. Because the child you give birth to will be called the Son of God. And his reign and his influence will never end." Mary, your life is going to be difficult. And the angel even warns her that what is done to her son will cause a sword to pierce her heart. Her heart will break. Her life will be difficult, but Mary, God says, your life is important. Your life will matter. Your life will count because I can use you. If you will let me. And Mary, that courageous teenage girl, looks past all of the difficulty and the shame and says, "I am the Lord's servant." As the New Living Translation says, "I'm willing to accept whatever he wants." Mary looks past all of the difficulty and says, "Lord, I will serve you. You say it and I will do it." God didn't use Mary because she was the smartest or most talented teenage girl around. He used Mary because she was available. She had a servant's heart. She was willing to do whatever God wanted, regardless of the cost. God said to this teenage girl, "Your life is going to be difficult. You may be poor. You're just a young girl without any social standing and no education, but I can use you. And God says the same thing to you today. And no matter all of your limitations, I can use you. Your life can have meaning and purpose. I was in high school when this happened. A 13-year-old boy that went to Mohawk Central School in Paynes Hollow, New York. That's in upstate New York. And the school held an assembly where a group called Santa Claus Anonymous told how they would give and buy things, presents, for needy families in the town. And they collect money from the school children to give presents to the needy families. And this 13-year-old boy, we saw him moved. He wanted so badly to help the less fortunate children in his area that he wanted to raise money. Now, he lived on a farm, and he had to do farm chores. He didn't get paid for farm chores, right? Those of us who grew up on farms, you don't get paid for it. That's what you do to eat. But he wanted so much to have money to give to Santa Claus Anonymous that he went into town and he got odd jobs. He swept floors. He cleaned barns. He did all sorts of odd jobs. And over 4 weeks, he raised about $10 to contribute to Santa Claus Anonymous. Now, the plan was that everybody would meet at the school the Friday before Christmas break and collect the money for Santa Claus Anonymous. But that Friday, a blizzard moved into upstate New York, and they got hit badly, and everything shut down. The roads were closed. The school buses couldn't run. The schools were closed. But this 13-year-old boy wanted so badly to make sure that the money got into the right hand so it could help some other family in Christmas. He walked 3 miles through the blizzard, through the snowdrifts, to give his $10 to the school principal at the school principal's house. And when the school principal, as he accepted the money, it was all he could do to choke back the tears, because this little boy was on the list of families to receive money as a needy family. But God used him. And you may be young and you may be poor like Mary, but God can use you. You might be old and you might be poor, but God can use you. No matter how badly you flawed you feel, no matter how badly you have failed, God can use you if, like Mary, you'll say, I'm your servant, you say it, and I will do it. And God says, I never promised that your life will be easy, and your life may be difficult at parts, but it can be important because I can give birth to wonderful things through your life if you will let me use you. So when life is difficult and when life is disturbing, don't be disturbed. Your life can have meaning and purpose. And I can use you like I used Mary. The fifth thing that God says to us this Christmas is when life is confusing, you don't need answers. You just need me. You don't need answers. You just need me. When life is confused and we want answers, we cry, why, God? Why are you letting this happen? Now, Mary's life was about to get very, very confusing. And she wants some answers. She says, how will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin? And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, for nothing is impossible with God. Mary asked God, how can I get pregnant when I've never slept with a man? It's a good question. It's a reasonable question. It's one any of us would ask, right? But God doesn't answer it. When Mary asked, how can this happen? God's answer is, well, my spirit will come near you. My spirit will overshadow you. My spirit will kind of hover. Because that's one of the ways you can translate that word, is hovering. And if I'm Mary, I got to be thinking, hold it. That's the answer? Hovering? I may be 15 years old, but I'm not stupid. That's no answer. Have you ever felt like that? You're going through a confusing time and you cry out to ask God why, and he doesn't give you an answer? Well, very often God doesn't give us the answer we want, because when life is confusing, we don't need an answer. We just need Him. We just need His loving presence. His loving, caring presence in our life. And so the angel's answer to Mary was, well, God can do the impossible. And that's all you need to know. That's all that matters. God can do the impossible. God says, Mary, you don't need to know the how or the why or the when. You just need to know that I can do it and I will do it. Because you don't need an answer. You just need me. And haven't you found that to be true in your life? There's times when we want answers when all that we need is Him. When the angel finally leaves, Mary still doesn't have an answer to how this is going to happen. But she believes it will happen because she believes that what God says He will do. And she believes that God can do the impossible. And sometimes that's the only answer. That we know God is with me. He knows me. He's on my side. He loves me. And He can do the impossible. And He can do the best. And will I trust Him in those times? So if you're going through a confusing time in your life today, hear the Lord say, you don't need an answer. You just need me. So where does this lead us? Our final point is, so like Mary, welcome me into your life. Welcome into your life. God wanted to enter Mary's life, her heart, her womb, but He needed Mary's permission. Mary had a choice. And she had to choose to welcome God to do a work in her life, knowing that God's work was going to interrupt her life, disrupt her life, make her life a little chaotic and messy, but do something ultimately good. Mary had to welcome God's work in her life. And Christmas message is that you and I need to welcome God's work in our life as well. The same two steps that Mary did. First, believe that I'm your God. Believe that Jesus Christ is your God. The angel says He, Jesus, will be called the Son of God. Not a religious leader who talked about God, but God. God came in the flesh. God who came to show you His love and show you how to live. God who came to be with you so you would know you're not alone and forgotten. And next, accept me as your Savior. Accept me as your Savior. As the angel said, you are to name Him Jesus. Now, the name Jesus means God saves. That's why the angel choir told the shepherds in Bethlehem, behold, unto you this day a Savior is born. Because God came to earth in flesh in Jesus to die for our sins, to save us from sin and from shame and from death and from hell. So have you ever said, Jesus, I believe you are God and I ask you to be my Savior. If not, why not do that this Christmas? The story is told of a missionary teaching at a Christian school in Africa. And the Christmas season was coming, and he explained to his native students how back where he comes from in America, they celebrate Christmas by giving gifts to show their love for each other in the name of Jesus. Well, Christmas morning arrived, and one of his native students came walking to him with something hidden under his robe. And he had a big smile on his face. And he walked up to the teacher and said, I have your Christmas gift. And he opened the robe and held out a big, beautiful seashell. I mean, it was a huge thing. It was exquisite. And the teacher said, where did you get that from? And the boy named a bay, which was a full day's walk away and a full day's walk back. And the teacher said, you shouldn't have done that. And still smiling, the boy said, long walk is part of the gift. And at Christmas, the long walk is part of Jesus Christ's gift to you, because on Christmas, Jesus made the long walk from the halls of heaven to a foul-smelling stable to give you the priceless gift of living with Him and being loved with Him forever. But like Mary, you need to welcome the gift. This Christmas, welcome to do a work in your life. Or like Mary, surrender yourself more fully. Surrender yourself afresh to Him and said, Lord, I'm your servant. You say it, and I will do it. Respond like Mary and learn that you are not alone or forgotten, that God is with you, that you are loved, that you are treasured, and that when you serve Him, you find meaning and purpose in your life. Well, I hope you'll come back and join us tomorrow night, Christmas Eve at 5 o'clock. We'll have a brief, interactive, family-oriented Christmas Eve service that will culminate in candle lighting. We'd love to have you, your friends, and your family join us to celebrate Christmas Eve tomorrow night. Now go and know that the Lord knows you, He is with you, He loves you, and He can use you this Christmas. God bless.